The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Jimmy.
You look very, whenever I see Jimmy wearing his Raiders hat, it reminds me of the late 1980s when the LA Raiders were really something and everyone had LA Raiders. They did here too.
Straight out of Compton.
Did they what?
Straight out of Compton. Yeah, it was huge here. I know in England, like where the NFL wasn't anything back in the 80s, but everyone knew the LA Raiders and everyone knew Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
But it was huge here, right? They were enormous.
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, Oakland now. No, Vegas now, isn't it?
Vegas now. Oakland back in the day.
It was LA. In the 80s, it was LA.
Originally, it was Oakland. Then they moved to LA for like 10 years, and then they went back to Oakland.
Oh, really? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, fostering that club culture in those cities, eh? Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. It's Monday morning. Good morning to you all. Jimmy's here. You just heard that. There's Wonga. There's JC behind the scenes. Craig's here. Dubsy is here. We have a guest star today's show because over the weekend was the Canadian Championship draw. You may have seen our very own Jimmy Brennan, in fact, pulling his hands all over the balls.
I got a lot of
compliments for the first time that weekend.
I got a lot of
compliments. Sorry, Jimmy?
A lot of compliments for the
way I did a nice job.
Your ball handling?
Yeah, really good. Some people said I should have been a keeper.
Keeper of balls?
But it had a very much like last year, but an old school FA Cup kind of feel to it. And the host of the evening was representing, of course, Canada Soccer in the Championship, Richard Scott, who's been a long, 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 long time servant of Canadian soccer. And he joins us. Richard, welcome to Footy Prime, mate. How you doing?
Morning, everyone. Doing very well. Jimmy did a great job, by the way. And we call them spheres because, otherwise my kids are making fun of it all the time otherwise.
They're called spheres? That's the official?
Well, that's what I call them because it's like you're mixing the balls. I mean, we had two balls in pot four, so spheres was a lot cleaner.
And I was the one that played with those balls.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. So you're working there with Jimmy. And Jordan, good friend of the show. Two fellas who enjoy the lighter side of life, you know? They like a good laugh and, you know, shenanigans. And I've worked with Jimmy for many years in the media space, and it's not the most serious of fellas. How was he to work with when we have all those severes and all those goblets? I mean, it must have been a nightmare between takes.
Yeah, no, actually, he was very good. So, and I'm a little bit of a draw on that now. I'm like watching the CONCACAF one or the FIFA one. And Jordan actually, I think, does a great job in terms of just, you know, like the mixing. And whereas like the CONCACAF one, I think they had their hand up for like 5 seconds. But I don't know. Jimmy was great. I mean, you know, it's we've done this a few years now over the years with different guests. And, you know, 1 year, one of the guys couldn't open one of the spheres because I guess they had hand cream or something like that. So, you know, there's little tricks that we've learned along the way to make it a clean show. So I think we did it in one take, which was great because, and especially too, I think, you know, once this year I had to watch out for the constraints to make sure two League One teams weren't going. So as soon as like on the first two League One teams came out, I was like, okay, I don't have to worry for the rest of this bracket. We're clear and safe. They just have to pull stuff out. So, but no, it's a good show and it's exciting this year. I think it's exciting every year. I mean, obviously this championship is grows each year and every year it has those little storylines and, you know, heads right into CONCACAF Champions Cup. And there's been some big, big moments in that competition with our Canadian clubs too. So always excited for the start of the championship.
Should we get the peace prize?
There's no peace prize. No,
I thought it was a peace prize at the moment. I got to tell a story though. So when we're going through it, right, we're starting off now. Jordan has the first little pot there, okay, and he's got three white balls and one blue ball, okay. So
right.
Richard says to him, "Okay, Jordan, over to you now. Can you take the blue ball out?" There's only one blue ball mixed with all the women. Well, doesn't Jordan go in and start mixing all the balls? And I'm like, Jordan, just take the blue ball.
But it's got to be tempting, right?
I mean,
it sounds lovely in there. It sounds great in there. I find it very soothing, satisfying when I see them, you know, in like the FIFA events, they unscrew the ball, you know, something about that.
The sphere,
sorry, yeah. But at the same time, Richard, and yeah. I find the host of these events are much like game show hosts. I think it must be very stressful because you have to know all the ramifications, right? And all the variations. Like you said, it was easy because of the first couple of draws this time around. But I think it must be
Jimmy helped me.
Took out
League One teams right away.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you learn that the procedures and it's not actually, this year is a lot easier too because we actually have the graphic up on the board. So, and usually like I try to make sure I get my opening a little bit. So, but this year I just had to kind of point to the four pots and I knew what I was going to say and then point to the screen. So I found it a lot less stressful once we had those two League One teams come out. So, and you know, we do a couple rehearsals the night before, to make sure things don't go mess. And, it was funny because we did the FIFA draw, like in our office, like our gang upstairs, we rehearsed like to try to figure out what the procedures were that were. And like that one, the guy probably had, you know, somebody in his earpiece, you know, kind of, you know, hey, you know, take 10 seconds. We need to figure this out and make sure there's no constraints. So, at least we only have 15 teams and there weren't too many constraints like a FIFA draw. Cause that was something else.
And no Rio Ferdinand to deal with either. So that
yeah, no, he did a good job, but you know that he had at least two people kind of talking to him this year to make sure that they didn't make any mistakes. So
for sure,
and nobody pulled a Gretzky.
Oh yeah, I was wondering, like, do I need to tell you guys how to pronounce? No, you'll be fine.
No, my highlight for me was Jordan pronouncing CS Saint Laurent, and he did quite a good job, I thought.
Yeah,
I think there was some fist bumps in the rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
It was he got all the Eastern clubs.
There were some great stories, though, and probably none bigger than Calgary Blizzard taking on Montreal in the first round. And there's that video, I'm sure you've seen it on Instagram, the Calgary players, when they saw the joy and how pumped they were. And that video really represents just how far this tournament's come. And that now we have that giant team against the Minnows. And I think it's so important for a national championship to have that type of contest.
Yeah, it's great. And this is actually like all four League One teams. I think we introduced a new youth competition, the Player Development Program Championship a couple of years ago. And this year, all four League One teams have had a youth team in the PDP Championship. So these in the under 17, these kids are probably now growing up and going to be playing in the Canadian Championship this time, first time around. So, it's always exciting in terms of, and I think there's, you know, you kind of look at it as, well, you know, there ends up being a storyline with almost every single matchup one way or another. You know, obviously Calgary and Pacific, I think, will be a great matchup. Calgary haven't got back to the semifinal since the first time, like since 2019. But then you have those giant killers, right, from time to time, you know, what TSS Rovers did from year to year. And this year they got, you know, bumped by Langley United, and Langley United are playing in their own backyard against Vancouver FC. You know, they're both home teams for that match, which is going to be something else too. So, yeah, both at the same stadium. So it's, you know, there's always these little pieces that come together. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of those kids that are going to be growing up and get introduced in the Canadian Championship, and for Calgary, a chance to kind of go west or go east and play in Montreal would be something special for sure.
So there's 15 teams now, which is such huge growth from just a few years ago now. Where can we get to with this tournament, Richard? And let's fast forward 10 years down the line. What do you anticipate this tournament looking like?
Yeah, I even look like, what is it going to look like, you know, in the next 2-3 years, you know, as we have the growth of football in Canada. Like the ecosystem of the game has changed so much. And I mean, technically our Canadian championship, you know, has actually been around since 1913, and it's had so many shifts and so on and so forth. And, you know, it became amateur in the 60s, whereas before it used to be pro and amateur. And then, you know, obviously we've had like our sports just been like stops and starts in Canadian culture. So, I mean, when I was a 10-year-old kid, we had the NASL and all of a sudden it went away. But there's been such momentum, you know, and really what you look at, you know, 20 years ago, teams or players that were playing amateur football are now playing, you know, pro game. And so as the CPL kind of continues to grow, as League One kind of continues to grow, and there's probably some more pockets against, you know, inside the country. And so, yeah, when you look 10 years down the road, yeah, you can kind of imagine what the growth is. But, yeah, I mean, I actually look, you know, 2-3 years from now in terms of, you know, kind of where we can kind of introduce things and, you know, how many windows, like how many games do you want to play? And then from there, you can kind of build an exciting schedule from there. So we've made some good shifts actually in our amateur competitions and like with the Youth Open Cup, just in terms of making sure it's 12 teams and, you know, and that's it. Like it's the ecosystem, right? So it's more than just those matches. It's ensuring that you have that full network of teams, that full network of fans, that full network of players that have that chance to play. And as that grows, then each of your competitions are going to grow too. So yeah, I'm excited as much for the next couple of years in terms of what we can do and where it's going to be 10 years from now too.
Can you just remind the listeners, if they're not sure, about the rule changes or the changes for this year's tournament compared to the previous?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few key ones that they added in. So I work mostly on our amateur, so I was kind of learning a few of them. But the key one, obviously, we've reintroduced the extra time. So, you know, it's been, I guess, 11 years since we've had a match go in extra time. So instead of going straight to penalties, you know, if the series is tied or if the match is tied, it'll head straight into extra time. So I think that's an exciting, you know, piece, especially when you think of the final and where that can lead to. So, and then, you know, there's a few other, you know, little pieces I think that will be introduced in just in terms of number of players and so on and so forth. I haven't learned them all. But, you know, I think the key thing too is, you know, like last year, you won't have the League One teams have to play against a different team. So that's the first piece. You have four teams that will qualify from League One. So they enter the competition, they're playing the different teams. This year, what we did was we ensured that with the ranking index, the top four teams would not play each other before the semifinal. And so what that meant was that you wouldn't have such a heavy hitting in the first round. The top four teams, it's the ranking index is based on the last 4 years. So you have Vancouver Whitecaps, which are ranked first. Forge FC are actually ranked second, then TFC, and then CF Montréal. And so those four teams will not meet each other through until the semifinal. And then the other piece with that, too, is actually the top two ranked teams can't meet until the final. So that means that Vancouver Whitecaps FC and Forge FC, they're on the Western and the Eastern. I almost said Eastern block also when we were doing the rehearsal, the Eastern bracket. But yeah, so they won't meet until the final on October 21st. So that's the other kind of piece which was introduced this year. And the reason that CF Montreal is on the West is because they were the fourth ranked team. So 2 and 3 went into the East, and then number four has to, you know, might have a little more travel to do inside the competition on the West. So you could, you know, host the West final in Montreal, because the other thing that happened was that we also had a draw. There's just one draw this year instead of two, is to determine which side of the bracket would host the championship final on October 21st. So, Jimmy, you got to do that one when we were down to two bowls left in the last bowl. And obviously, so the Western winners will host the final.
I always enjoy how you have to pull out the last bowl just to make sure that everything's kosher. It's really important. That, you know, yes, it's the West, but let's just make sure that East is in the other ball here. And every draw has the same kind of thing. I love that. I thought it did miss Donald Trump, but overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the draw. Congratulations. And like I said, it's grown this tournament. It keeps growing. And I think we need to start really championing this tournament within the Canadian soccer zeitgeist, because giant killers, shocks, fairy tales, it's all about football and sport, right? And we can have it. We've had it so far in previous editions, and maybe again this year. Hey, Atletico Ottawa, Toronto, first round. Juicy, very juicy. Richard, thanks so much, mate. We'll see you again in a year.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks for jumping on, Richard.
Good to see
thanks,
you, Richard.
Guys. Thanks,
Richard Scott. Yeah, you know, I like I said, I mean, Jimmy, you've seen enough FA Cup draws. Did you go back and watch some tape of Rod Stewart, some of the classic FA Cup draws, see their style, and then kind of tailor your your process?
He's so good.
No, it was. I thought it needed a professional performance. I thought the setup was very professional. I thought that's what we have to do here. I don't know. Like, what are you going to do? You can't mess around, can you, when you're doing it?
Craig, you did it last year, right? Was it last year or year before?
I think it was last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, here we are anyway. And I like that they do it on an international night as well. Part of the broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's well done. So,
Sharms are going to be going down the Footy Prime roster. So Dubs next year, then me and you the year
I
after.
I think we'll be involved. I don't think we'll be involved. Well, sorry, JC.
Is there any games that you're looking forward to? Because there were some good draws there.
Yeah, well, Ottawa, Toronto. I mean, that's going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
isn't it? I mean, if you're TFC, you've got to be a little bit. Don't take that lightly. The fact that Forges, I didn't realize they were actually ranked ahead of two of the MLS teams
mm-hmm.
because of their performances. That's fantastic. Dubs, yeah, what jumps out to you? Sorry, Craig.
Sorry, I just said it is, yeah.
For me, it's FC Supra to Quebec. Like, it's their first year in CPL, and then they're in the Canadian Championships, and then just to see their matchup and how they stack up, that's going to be great, I think. Good litmus test for them.
I'm looking forward to that one.
David Schwanier joined the broadcast, right? Straight after talking about it. I guess, is he face of the team? He probably is, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
At this point? Yeah. Craig, what's jumping out to you?
The first game, the Toronto Ottawa game.
Is that the first game? Is that how it's scheduled? I haven't even seen the schedule.
It looks like match one is Pacific FC versus Cavalry.
Oh, is it? Interesting. What is going to be interesting is when MLS switches to the new season.
Oh, right.
Next year.
You're already throwing wrenches into things.
Well, it's going to be weird, though, right?
Because throwing that blue ball
the
in there.
The team that, I forget it's right, the team that plays in the early rounds will be right in there, the midst of their season. Right. But by the time the late rounds come around, it could be completely different looking teams.
Yeah.
It's true.
Unless, of course, the rest of the country also changes the season, which isn't going to happen, I don't think. At least not by next year, anyway.
So either.
Yeah. Anyway, as I mentioned, it was part of the. Sorry, Jimmy?
It would be difficult for the League One teams, too, right? For them to get together to train, especially when, you know, the leagues do change over and MLS teams are going to be in season when it gets going. And then the CPL is going to be in preseason near enough. And then League One teams are trying to get everybody together to get themselves sorted out. So it will be difficult. But the one match I'm looking forward to is Woodbridge, my old youth club.
Ooh.
Going up to Montreal. That's going to be an exciting game. So, and I know a lot of people in Woodbridge now, as soon as that draw came out, they were ecstatic knowing that they're playing a CPL team up in Montreal. So go on, Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm. The Woodbridge Strikers, though, right? Would you have been allowed to play on that team?
Yeah,
my retirement, for sure.
It does seem a one-dimensional name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Strikers.
Top heavy.
Very top heavy. It's the O-10 formation.
Oh.
Yeah. The reverse Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But as I mentioned, it was part of the broadcast for Canada against Guatemala. A tier two match. Is there anything more boring than this tier one, tier two conversation?
No.
Oh, my God. Although, Craig, you were saying you played in some tier two games and they don't count as caps and used to really piss you off.
Yeah, it's a friggin' nightmare. Like, you travel around the world and you go to a game, and it's, oh, no, it's going to be a tier two game. It's not going to count. Oh, thanks.
At the same time, though, we get 10 subs. We get to see some faces maybe we wouldn't have otherwise gotten a chance to see, right? Or suit up for Canada officially, even though it's a tier two. Like, they get a taste of it, not just the training environment, but the game and what it feels like to play for Canada.
Yeah, it must mean a lot for sure, Jim Owen must mean a lot for Malik Henry. You know, these kind of players must mean.
Wouldn't it meant more if they were capped? What are we talking about?
Well, yeah, to Greg's point, it's better than nothing.
Didn't it seem kind of arbitrary, though? This is what I didn't understand. It's like what I read was the two teams decided. So I guess the federations both decided to be a tier two match before the game. Is that how it works? They're just like, hey, tier two?
Tier two. FIFA, in the end, it's not an international window. I think that was a pressing issue.
Then wouldn't that already have been
established?
This is what I didn't understand, because it reminded me a bit of Marcelo Flores and Marsh. And I'm just like trying to figure out, as someone who's really new to this stuff, this seemed once again very, it was like the Marcelo Flores, we said, oh, it was great when Jesse Marsh took all the accountability. And then I joked, oh yeah, just wait till two or three employees are let go over the weekend quietly. it's the same, like this seems so out of sorts that all of a sudden it was a tier two. And I don't understand, either announce that earlier, or because this would have always been a tier two then, no?
No, well, look, it's got nothing to do with Flores. Nothing.
No, whatsoever. I know it doesn't, but I'm saying it's ramshackle is what I'm saying.
No, so it's the two organizations that come together and decide what they want to do and how they want to handle it. So if it's a tier one match, you have to have four or more officials. You have to have, you can only have, what was it, five subs or six subs when it's a tier one match. So for them to have a friendly and want to get a look at all players, that's where they can decide and say, okay, no, you know what, let's have a tier two, we can have 10 subs, we can do whatever we want, and it's more or less a scrimmage type match. I mean, you could play it anywhere, right? And that's why they decided, because I think both teams wanted to see certain players that they probably would never have saw. Now, if that was a tier one match, then you probably wouldn't have saw half the players that you saw enter the field. Mm-hmm. So it was an opportunity for Jesse Marsh to get an idea and understanding of what this player pool is like and how guys handle international football.
Still sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, the most boring thing.
It does suck for, you know, players like Sholajima, Abatne, mm-hmm. you know, the Brian, these guys that are just getting a taste of international football, and their parents are probably sitting at home going, oh my God, my son's getting capped. Well, no, sorry, he's not getting capped.
Not really.
It's not really. His name's on the back. You know, so yeah, it would have been disappointing for those types of players that finally got a call up and got to put the jersey on. And although it was a great experience for them, but.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense, right? To hear Jimmy explain that all the reasons for electing to go with an international B instead of A, or tier two instead of tier one. But Wonger's point, I think from the outside looking in, like it seems like they're just making it up as they go along. Why was this not decided before the camp that this is how it's going to proceed? Like there's the comments from Marsh about Flores, right? Even though that doesn't dictate what's going to happen, but there's that kind of as an incident, or kind of like, oh, I made an error. I thought that it was this and it's actually that. And then again, like right before the match, we find out that it's not going to count as a cap for all these players. So just the fact that the information was slowly trickling out, and then it's decided that, whereas it should have just been announced as that early on when they announced the camp poutine, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't as slick as we've seen in the last couple of years. All overall, ramshackle is the word I think Wonga used there.
It's a great word.
Ramshackle is a great word. It is.
But now we're going to have to look definition of that, ramshackle.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, though, because we did see players that we don't usually see. And okay, they don't get caps, doesn't affect me. But it's nice seeing a team, a brand new look team, still looking like Canada. They still played like Canada. They still played with aggression on the front foot, pressing really well. It was great to see Richie as captain, although I guess that won't count either, right? He can't say I captain Canada because it wasn't an official cap. Right.
Yeah, but as the player, that doesn't matter. Like, he got to wear the armband, he got to have the experience, and he got the nod from the coach to trust him in that moment. And he was still Richie. like on the call, they're like, oh, why do they always have to engage? That's fucking Richie. I don't want him to change if he's wearing the armband or not. That's the way that he plays. That's what makes him successful. He plays on an edge, on a knife's edge. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that.
He does it in training. He said he did it in training. He was given Tommy Wheelan a bad time because he was refereeing the game.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's true, right? You can't ask a player. I don't care if it's a tier one, tier two, if there's a tier three, I don't care. You can't change the way you play because of the game. You are who you are. And when you start taking your foot off the gas, that's when players get hurt. In my experience, you have to be going full out no matter what.
Your long footballing experience.
Well, I watched football and in the rugby world, if you don't go 100%, you get hurt.
That's true.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You do. But yes, acknowledging I have a very, very modest sporting career, to say the very least.
You've played in some tier two celebrity matches.
There were tears, all right, when I was lying on the ground, rolling around, grabbing my knee.
When Adam picked you up and picked you up.
There were definitely tears in my eyes that day. Okay, but let's talk about the game, though. I mean, one thing I've got to mention, no names on shirts, too. Mm. That, again, screams tier two to me. I don't like that. For a commentator, it must be a nightmare, Jimmy. You called the game. Although, there was an issue with your mic, it seemed like. I couldn't hear you all the time. You were very low.
Mm-hmm.
But when you did speak...
Low.
But were you impressed with the overall performance?
Boots with the fur.
He hit the floaty.
Should have got low.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Sharms, what was your question?
I can't remember. Just talk about the game.
The one player that stood out for me that I really enjoyed watching was Ralph Kriso. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really, really good. He was aggressive in his play, played out the back, defended well, 1v1, sensed danger. I thought he had an excellent match. And it was good to see because I thought he had a good season with the Whitecaps and then obviously getting called up. Now, he wasn't supposed to start. It was supposed to be Waterman. Waterman ended up getting an injury, and it was last second. Kriso, you're up. Get in. And I thought he handled the occasion very well, and I was impressed by his performance.
That was well foreshadowed by our Saturday pod with Asa, who waxed poetic about Ralph Kriso and why he should be in the conversation, which is great for Canada's men's team.
In the conversation, but I agree, he was fantastic, and I'm a big fan of Ralph Kriso, but you're looking at the centre-back depth for Canada. I don't know how he gets in there if everyone's healthy. I just don't know.
No, but to Dub's point, I listened to the pod, and it was about that Swiss Army knife, 24th, 25th, and 26th, if FIFA – when is that being decided? But that's where Dub's made the point.
Yeah. I'd imagine sometime in May they'd have to. Yeah. Officially unveil the roster?
I think June 1st is the official final rosters, but it is in May when you can get the extended squads. But yeah, I mean, listen, he's been fantastic and was in this game, playing on his offside as well. For the first time ever, apparently, Jesse Marsh is saying. Never played on the right of a center, which I don't know, is that a bigger deal? Is that a big deal, Craig, for a player? Can they adapt pretty easily?
I don't know what easily, but certainly there's some nuances to it. And they find it a little bit different. I think Jesse asked him and he's like, well, no, I haven't. I'm not sure I'm that comfortable with that. And he's like, wrong answer.
Didn't he say just too Canadian, right? I think he said.
Yeah, too Canadian. You should say, I'll play wherever you want, coach.
Right.
I thought Russell Rowe was really good up top. Jason Russell Rowe. 7 caps he actually has for his country, not including yesterday. or Saturday, but it looked decent, right? And there's still, I think, when we look at this Canada squad, we know pretty much most of it, but there's still a spot up front with the way, you know, Carl Aaron's struggling at the moment. We hardly have prolific goal scorers outside Promise David, and let's put John David in there as well. So is there, Dubs, a case to be made that Jason Russell can still make this squad? I thought he looked really good and played the style of football that Jesse Marsh likes.
Yeah, I thought he showed well as well. I think that he's a type of player that hasn't been involved recently, but he continues to impress at Columbus. I think he's played over 100 times for them, and he's clinical. And that's what you need in a striker. You need somebody who reliably can put the ball in the back of the net. And he just needed one touch. I thought it was a great run, great performance by Henry, another kid, another player that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise seen if this was an international A match. And I thought that he made an impression on the game, left an indelible mark, and then runs down that right wing and then perfect cross. And then Russell Rose right there. So it's the timing of the run. It's the execution. It's the way that he performed within Jesse Marsh's team and played the style of play. Like Jesse Marsh said, and you mentioned it, like we looked like us, which is great because that's what you want. And we talked about that over the last couple of pods too, is from the youth national teams all the way up to the senior team or an expanded roster. And that talent pool is that every single person who's called in, whether it's your first look or not, a player like him who hasn't been in the fold for a bit can be dropped in and perform exactly the way that Jesse Marsh wants him to. So I thought he showed out really, really well and is maybe giving Jesse Marsh a little bit of a headache as he looks ahead to March. And then we'll be bringing in players that I think there he's starting to filter down and will likely resemble a lot of what his roster will look like whenever that official announcement is made for the World Cup.
I was reading our comments off of our Jesse Marsh, should he sign the contract? What should Canada Soccer do? And it was quite interesting because someone made the point, you know, there's 7 or 8 injuries right now for Canada. And that's what I would, if I were one of these players on the 20, you know, the Swiss Army knife players, there's going to be opportunity. Not everyone's going to be at full strength, unfortunately. With 7, the numbers are just too kind of the opportunity is just too deep to not have 1 or 2 injuries out of those 7. So there's going to be opportunity for these guys, like a Jason Russell Rowe or a Malik Henry. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, there'll be surprises somewhere. Somebody's going to get a look in that we didn't expect.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be a case of a name player, so to speak, being a shock absence from the squad like other nations. You know, when Paul Gascoigne wasn't selected in, was it 98 or I forget when it was now, you know, and his infamous reaction when he was told by Glenn Hoddle, I think it was, we haven't got that depth, Jimmy, I think, within Canada. If there's going to be absences, like Wonga says, it's going to be just that through injuries. But most of these, I mean, how many of these players do you think, Jimmy, are going to be a huge part of the next cycle? Because it's a pretty young team anyway. Our squad, beyond the Ozos of the world, is a pretty young squad. Yeah. There's going to be a few of these guys who will sneak in there, you think?
Look, I think if you're looking at that match and who's going to be fighting to be a part of that squad, I thought Jaden Nelson was very good as well on the night. I thought he had an excellent match. You know, the players that are really kind of on the cusp is, you know, Russell Rowe, also obviously Schwanier as well, Jaden Nelson, who else? Bassong. I thought he was decent on the night as well. And then maybe Ralph Parisseau. I thought he might have done enough to maybe get another look over the next couple of camps. And obviously Richie's a staple. Richie's going to be in that squad regardless. You can't have a World Cup without Richie Larray, in my opinion. And then you look at the younger guys that are coming through over maybe the next cycle, maybe Malik Henry. I thought he was good. Chola Jima at 17 years old still has a lot to prove. He got a taste of international football, so he needs to, now he knows the standard and the level, which it's going to be a lot of work for him to get to that level, but he does have some potential. I thought he was quiet on the night. Alumi as well. He was decent. Coimbra that came on, I thought he was a big body. I would like to see a little bit more of him. Abatne at the back, another young player. What is he, 21? These are the guys that are going to be in that next cycle. And it looks promising. And the good thing is that these guys are actually playing first team football. So in the next couple of years, you know, they should be ready. But are they contenders, those young players right now, to be in the squad for the World Cup? No, not in my opinion. I don't think they're ready yet.
That Nelson Schwanier debate is interesting now suddenly. I mean, I think Chouinard was going to be a dead cert a few months ago for the squad. But he didn't. He did kind of lose his playing time a little bit towards the end of LAFC's season. He's got a big few months coming up with MLS dubs kicking off, because we know what he can do, really important player. But like Jimmy said, Jaden Nelson was excellent yesterday again. Generally is when he hits the pitch, and moving to Austin with some more minutes, that could be an interesting angle to watch.
Yeah. To the Nelson point, I rewatched the game yesterday because I missed it on Saturday night, and it was a good performance. But I think Jesse Marsh was on record saying he wants him to be more dynamic. And I can't help but think that most of the time that I watch Jaden Nelson, I expect more and he doesn't deliver. So it's maybe like the urgency or it's the incisiveness. I want, Jimmy, you even mentioned it on the call. Like, I want to see him go at defenders and humiliate them, embarrass them with his turn of pace. And I feel like more often than not, I'm left wanting. And I have the sneaking suspicion that it's what Jesse Marsh sees as well, that he has this ceiling, this potential, and he continually underwhelms. So yeah, of course it was a good performance, but I think he's capable of a series and stringing together fantastic performances where he's dynamic, but he's also successful in the take-ons and it's cutting the ball in. And it's that just the decision-making in the final third is where I think I feel let down, where there it's the promise of something and then he doesn't quite deliver on it. And then as it pertains to Chouinard, yeah, I think like you saw, you know, his quality on the set pieces. He comes very close on one in the second half. I think that Jesse Marsh wants him to be more progressive with the ball, especially in that middle third. Like, he's always reliable. Jesse Marsh talks about his engine, his ability to run, and regardless of the minutes that he's getting at club, he's always in shape. He's always a guy that will give you 90 minutes if he's asked to do that. But I think the quality on the ball is maybe that missing piece to really put him in contention for a starting position with this national team. But I do think that he's in with a shout on that roster. And I've mentioned this a number of times, regardless of what happens with LAFC. Yes, it's going to be a couple of big months. Will he rise to the occasion, really challenge for a starting role or significant minutes off the bench is a different thing. But I think he's in that 26 player roster.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it's just sure enough. It's just, I'm just basing it purely on, you know, there will be some tough calls to make here.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, honestly, for content, trying to find some way to make this squad selection more interesting, because we pretty much know who it's going to be, I think, with the exception of maybe a couple of players, maybe the third stringer. You know, Pantemis seems to be the guy, I would think. I mean, but are we honestly going to debate Johnny Craig about who's the number three in goal for Canada? Has it come to this?
Yeah. We'd be struggling for content.
Okay. So overall, good performance means nothing. Never actually happened.
Stop. Think about if you're one of those players, though. It's highly meaningful.
It sucks.
It does. Like, yeah, you want to be capped, but you also get, you know, you get tabbed to be included in the roster. If you've performed well, Jesse Marsh will have you kind of front of mind if he has like spots to fill. And I think it also speaks to the players who are just on the outside looking in for even like a January camp of North American players. It gives them hope and confidence that they're within touching distance of an experience just like that. Mm-hmm. I know you know, listeners might feel like I'm grasping at straws and like, yes, like as a player, you want that cap. You want it to.
Oh, and colleagues, Dubs, colleagues too.
You know, the ramshackle kind of feel of it all.
Well, you know, we talk about what it means. Craig still reminds us of there was a youth game that wasn't sanctioned by FIFA. And it was when you beat the United States, Craig, in like the North American Championship or something.
That's right.
You still bring that up.
Yeah. This is fucking bullshit.
He holds
we played the, North American tournament before the Gold Cup. It was all regional, even in our region. And there's Canada, United States, and Mexico. Mexico had their full side. We had our full side. And the Americans apparently weren't bringing their tier one team. Casey Keller played in net. I don't remember that. But it didn't count actually as an official cap. And then the final, when we played against Mexico, did. Kind of strange.
That is weird.
There's another game really early on I played against the Italian national team that wasn't counted either.
Oh, really? That is, because that would have been in a FIFA window for sure, if Italy's coming over or you're going over there.
Oh, yeah. It should have counted. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Huh. Thankfully, this podcast today is a tier two podcast. So it doesn't actually count.
It always is.
It doesn't count.
No, we do it. Say what you want. It doesn't matter. You know, we won't be looking back on this podcast a year from now. You know, it didn't happen. This big black void, episode 1011. Big black void didn't happen. What did happen this weekend, Craig, was Ali Ahmed making his debut for Norwich against Wrexham of all teams. And pretty good debut, huh? Got the assist.
Yeah, by all accounts, played really well in the first half. Obviously, come off at halftime, so I'm expecting that was a fitness decision. Mm-hmm. It sets up the goal for Norwich really well. The feedback was great. The fans of Norwich were really appreciative and liking what they saw. And then they end up nicking a result there too, winning at Wrexham, which is fantastic for Norwich because they're in that relegation battle and still in there because I think some of the other results went against them on the weekend, but they're heading in the right direction. Good for them.
It pains me to say Josh Sargent.
Pains me. Oh my God, as an Ipswich guy.
I actually loved hearing you say
shower. Ali smashed the bar too. I didn't get to watch the game, but I was following the feed on Twitter and came really close to scoring a goal as well.
Mm-hmm. He looked like Ali, didn't he? He looked like Ali, which it makes sense because he's Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's his first game for a new club. You know, you can understand it if he was a bit tentative and nervous, but tentative is not a word I'd describe with Ali Ahmed when he's got a ball at his foot.
No. You know what? The defender, for the goal he set up, the defender just kept dropping off. I was like, make a challenge. Like, step up and do something. Like, it was, if people are going to drop off Ali Ahmed like that, they're going to get skinned.
Hey, Craig, man, it's the Whitecaps' reputation. This guy's crossing the Atlantic. People are terrified. Like, oh my God.
There you go.
This guy's coming from MLS. Watch out. Mm-hmm. Anis Ben Slimani. That's the trivia answer. Moving forward. Who scored the goal for Ali Ahmed's first assist for Norwich?
I thought that was the definition of ramshackle.
And he spends the money?
Yeah.
That's how you say it. That's how you say it in Turkish.
Oh, that's right.
the Turkish match window was a little bit, and he spends the money.
Well, do you want to know the definition of Slimani?
Yeah.
Means rickety, loosely built, or in a state of disrepair, originating from the altered form of the obsolete word ransackled, the past ransacked.
Ransacked.
Ramshackle. Wow. So ransacked is where it came from.
I thought you meant Slimani.
Slimani. Yeah.
No, it is. It is. Because see what I did there.
Is he saying Jumanji?
Don't say that. Three times, Beetlejuice shows up.
Tier two.
What else jumped out to anyone this weekend from the world of football, Dubs?
Oh, I don't know. The AFCON final?
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Pandemonium, right? Again, I didn't get a chance to watch it live because I was in arenas all weekend. But just absolute bedlam, just chaos, right? But
chaos.
Yeah. Sadio Mane, right? Legend.
You know, he's a bright spot out of all that crap that went on. Like, he is an absolutely a special individual. Like, on and off the field, he just gets it. He's been so massively successful in his career, Champions Leagues, Premier Leagues, World Cup, the World Cup, FA Cup, League Cup. He's just won absolutely everything. And two African Cup of Nations as well in a very hostile situation. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw when they had to take the train. There was no security. They showed up at the train station. There was a mob of Moroccan fans, no security. And they're trying to get into the stadium, into the game. It was just crazy. I mean, to deal with all that, like as well as they did, was pretty interesting, even though they kind of lost their minds a little bit after the penalty was given and they decided to leave the field.
What is that about? You can't do that.
But apparently it was Mane who pulled rank to get the players back on the pitch.
Correct. It was. Yeah, it was. He actually ran into the dressing room and got everybody out.
Yeah.
You never
amazing, and then they miss a penalty with a Panenka. Like, oh, what the? What
is Karim Diaz, who's been so great in this tournament as well. Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Is there a worse thing in sports, like, or more polarizing? Like, when you get it, you've got ice in your veins, like, cool under pressure, and it looks so cool when it comes off, right? A Panenka, and when you fucking miss it, it's humiliating.
Yeah. Is there anything else in sport like it?
I don't know if there is. Maybe missing a dunk.
Oh, maybe.
You kind of stuff yourself on the rim or it goes off the back of the rim.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think that equals it.
But it's 2 points. Maybe a dunk at the whistle, at the buzzer.
Yeah, that's only 2 points out of.
Yeah. I was just sitting there when I watched that. I couldn't believe he tried it because it takes a level of audacity to try it. But to try it at that point, like his mind must have been going a mile a minute because a 2x4 could have stopped that. A 1x1 piece of wood stuck in the ground could have stopped that goal.
Ray Charles.
Remember this is
Ray Charles. Jeff Healy with his guitar could have stopped
that. Don't move.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is annoying. It's a and Dubs is right. It's like a guy running by himself going for a dunk and misses it. You know, a guy in a penalty doing a Panenka and misses is stupid. And it's like a wide receiver before he goes into the end zone drops the ball because he's celebrating.
Yeah.
That would be a good one. You know, actually. Yeah.
Certain things where you just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And what about Mendy for us? Like one, first of all, he has to make the stop there. So it's not just, yes, it's a poor Panenka that should just be rifled into the net. But Mendy, you watch the slow-mo replay. He's maybe diving to his right. And then just before the Moroccan goes to hit the ball. I forget the guy who was taking the penalty.
Yes,
Raheem Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah. He decides to stay put and he makes the save. But then what was the deal with the towel? There was the ball boys. They didn't want him to have his towel.
Yeah. And keep in mind that Morocco got the Fair Play Award.
Well, we know what those awards mean these days.
Yeah. And the ball boys were literally trying to stop the backup goalkeeper because it was raining really hard from getting a towel to the point where they were rugby tackling the backup goalkeeper to try and not allow him to give Mendy the towel. And there was all sorts of shit going on. There was a banana thrown on the field. And the goat Mendy picks it up and good for him, peels it, has a bite out of it.
Amazing.
Give the crowd a wave. Like it was just, there was so much going on that Senegal had to deal with. It was really quite something. And then the goal was special. It was absolutely as good as it gets. I mean, the build up play, the finish, it was fantastic. I was really happy to see Senegal pull it off, actually.
AFCON never disappoints. It is amazing. It's mayhem. Whoever said it, it's mayhem. That's the best word for it. Every single year there's an AFCON, it's complete mayhem and chaos. It's not necessarily good for the sport per se, but it adds something to the sport, that's for sure.
I think the fact that they came back out, it saved the game. It saved the situation. I think there could be something still come down on Senegal before it. And then I don't know if you saw the press conference after they dragged the manager from Senegal in. The journalists, Moroccan journalists, are booing him. Like they had to pull him out of there because they were worried about his safety because the journalists.
Press conference.
And calling for him on the spot to resign.
Yeah. Yeah. And he walked in with his daughter. Like it was just one thing after another. It didn't stop. The final, it kept on giving.
Hey, Craig, did you ever face a Panenka?
Yes, once. Yeah. Yeah. And very similar outcome. It was actually at Charlton, of all places. And just sort of stood there and it just landed in my arms. Very similar to Mendy, really. Somebody else tried one against Mendy. I think it was, might have been the Champions League and the same outcome. Mm. He doesn't really commit early as some do. So he leaves himself in a position where if something like that happens, he can still react.
Right, right. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Other things this weekend? What about United beating City and Michael Carrick's first game in charge? Mm-hmm. Jesus, Jimmy, if you want to start off well as United's new latest interim manager, pretty good start. Could this be the corner turned?
It's a dream start.
Yeah.
Obviously, look, I mean, he's a Man United legend, so he knows how much that game means for the fans and the club to win that derby. And for him to get a good result like that, you just wonder, is that going to be a little bit of momentum now for them to push themselves forward and get some more results? But, or it goes the other way, where it starts off and the new manager comes in, fresh face, new voice, and the players are up for the occasion.
Yeah.
And we've seen it plenty of times where the boat sinks after and they go back to exactly where they were before.
I think it'll be that. Enough of this squad and this team that it's going to be that. They're going to be fine. They're going to be, you know, in the outside periphery of the lower European spots, and that's about it. Do you see Sporting Kansas City was sold for $700 million?
That was going to be my off-the-pitch conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we bid on it, Footy Prime Incorporated, but the $700 million surpassed our $6.50. Because that's what was in the bank account. But I looked up Charlotte. I think it was 4 years ago we were talking about in the tent. It was a $250 million buy-in expansion fee. And Sporting KC is $700 million. And it's going the minority owner going to a majority owner. So it's quite interesting about how much this – is that what you took away from it? Just the amount? Or was it – consolidation of these sporting companies?
Yeah, well, the amount was number one. I mean, that's more than Newcastle cost.
Wow.
In the Prem, for example. But it's also the guy that bought it, I believe, was a minor shareholder for years as well, right? He knows the business, knows MLS. He's not like some weird, crazy, wacko foreigner thinking he can reinvent the game in this country and then, you know, not have an idea what he's doing, which happens over and over again. This guy knows the landscape and believes it's worth $700 million, so good for them. It's huge. Mm-hmm.
They got a good setup there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good but setup.
We should have got a few bucks put together because Toronto FC MLSC bought Toronto for $10
million. Well, what's TFC worth now, I wonder? My God, it's more than $700 million. Bet you.
Wow. Yeah, got to be a billion. Jesus Christ, what are we talking about?
At the time, it's like $10 million for an MLS team. You're crazy.
That's right. Jerry Dobson did an interview with Richard Petty, who was at MLSC at the time, and asked if they, because we heard wind they were actually looking into it. So we were like, oh, this is great. So we did an interview with him, and he said, yeah, we're going to look into it. It's a lot of money, but we're going to see whether it could fit for us and whether it could work. And well, here we are.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, anything else before we go? Anyone wants to talk about?
Jonathan David started for Juve. They ended up losing, and they've really created a lot of chances. I'm not sure. I didn't see the game, but
lost a
disappointing result for Juve.
Mm. Yeah. Promise David scored again. It's 4-5 for him. God,
he's an absolute machine, that guy. Mm-hmm. You see this? He hasn't got an ounce of fat on him. Like, he is an absolute beast.
I know. And when it was kind of alluded to, he's got to work on his fitness for Jesse Marsh's football. Like, I mean, the guy is a beast. Right?
What a specimen. Like, really.
His goal, by the way, in the weekend, not sure if you saw it, but the great patience. Hey, Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
Great patience. Breaking in, showing his pace, and then just holding off. Was it two defenders, I think?
Yep.
Just
cuts it back to his right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just sort of overwhelms and like bullies his way. But I think that does him a disservice almost because there's a whole lot of guile and technique and savvy to his game, right? That often doesn't get talked about because you just see the brute force and his ability to just run over or overrun defenses or defenders. So yeah, I think though the fitness part is just his ability to sustain that. To do it, to replicate it over and over again, and then to do the running required out of possession. Can he convince Jesse Marsh that he can do that? And then we know the guy can finish. I think people are screaming for him not only to be included, but to start. I don't know if that happens, but I think he's maybe more relied upon off the bench.
March is two games, right? So you have to give him a game, don't you? A start.
I think
so. Just to see what you have, right, Jimmy?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Because Tanny, listen, nothing against Tanny, and he's getting minutes at Villarreal, but he's not starting much and isn't scoring at the moment. It's obviously difficult off the bench, but you know, he was given up. He had his opportunity, and he might and should get another opportunity. But at this point, going by form, you got to see what Promise can do with David. Although confusing, well, not that confusing, but pretty confusing. David and David. Would he go P David on the show or Promise or Toby? Something to consider, Promise. All right, that's 40 prime for today. Thanks to Bridget Scott, by the way. We're back later this week. We have JMO on at some point this week talking some TFC. And we're not sure, it's broadcast this week too, right? Dubs, or is it next week?
Yeah, no, it's this week. We also have Carl Lang this week.
Excellent. What day is that, Thursday?
That's Thursday.
Yes.
And then we have an interview with Sam Chang and Anna Broads as well, with Claire Rustad, Shireen Ahmed, and Signe Butler.
Ooh. It's a full week of shows. Cara's going to be talking some LA-based footy, right?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Well, that is going to be Thursday. So, yeah, like, retweet, subscribe, and sign up to our newsletter. We are footyprime.com is where you can find the sign-up sheet for that. And we'll chat to you later this week. Cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Tier 2.
B-sides.
No, that was great.
Good.